Okay, good morning, everybody. It's nice to see another very strong Shonabet turnout. It's Shonabet Friday Seder. I want to tell over a very important Yisod in life that comes after this week's Parsha. Even though it's not directly related to Yitzias Mitzrayim and the main theme of the Parsha, so maybe to start off, we'll try to say one idea and then try to maybe connect it afterwards. I saw this somewhere, I forgot where I saw it, but the question's asked that the Tzvadim, they all died after the Tfilos, the Moshe Rabbeinu, to stop Maka Tzvadeya, except for the ones that jumped into the oven. The ones that jumped into the oven, they survived the end of the plague. And just those frogs. And the dogs, at the end of when we left Mitzrayim, so because the Loyechot's Kel of the Shona, they didn't bark. When the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, they rewarded that they got the Kel Tashlichen Osel called Trefa. Any Trefa, which really doesn't mean a Trefa, because Trefa, we know, it means that the animal is Tref, means it was shechted properly, but it had some sort of ailment that it would have died soon afterwards. But it's more of an Avela. An Avela is something that dies down. So the Kel Tashlichen Osel, you're supposed to give those animals that died that without a proper Shechita, you give them to your dogs. And why? Why are the dogs rewarded for generations? Because they didn't bark when they left Mitzrayim. So it sounds like the rewards are not necessarily consistent. The dogs, what did they do already? They didn't bark. And therefore what? Therefore they get, for generations, all dogs are privy, get the privilege of getting the animals that died without Shechita. Yet the frogs that jumped into the fire, so it seems like a much bigger, into the oven's much bigger form of Kavod Shemayim, of Mekadosh Shemayim, Kiddush Hashem, which of course we all know from Hanan Mishael Ve'Azariah, of course in Mokum Shenogu. And yet, it was just for those frogs got rewarded. So why is it that the reward for not barking is so much greater than jumping in the oven? It seems to be not inconsistent. And if I remember, the shot was that the frogs jump wherever they want to go. There's frogs, so jumping into the forest certainly was Kiddush Hashem, but it's not like not barking. Not barking for a dog is an unbelievable accomplishment. Why? Because you're going against their natural way. When a person goes against his natural way, his teva, that's the greatest form of Kiddush Hashem. That's the greatest form of expression of Avodas Hashem, and that's the challenge of life. The challenge of life and the greatest rewards are for those who are able to go against their natural habits. And that's an idea that a person should keep in mind. Where do you see the greater shine? A person wants to go out and get a coffee, a person wants to go out and schmooze, and then he sits and learns, he's going against his grain. That's the greatest element. A person wants to say a piece of juice, lashon hara, to the guy next to him, he hates that guy, or he wants to get in with the crowd, and he holds himself back and doesn't speak lashon hara. That's the greatest expression of Kavod Hashem, that's the greatest expression of Kiddush Hashem, even greater, perhaps, than jumping into a fire. That's the Yisod. You know, one idea from Yitzias Mitzrayim, and perhaps we'll try to tie it in. In this week's parasha, the pasuk tells us who Aaron and Moshe, Asher Omar Hashem Elohim, Hotzias Bnei Yisrael Me'etzem Atzivosam. And the obvious question is Aaron before Moshe. It doesn't make any sense. We know that Moshe is the one, the Moshiach and Shal Yisrael. He's the one that's taking the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. He's the one that's going to receive the Torah directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pel Pa Adaber Bo. Aaron before Moshe, and Rashi says right. Right, Yesh Mekom Shemakim Aaron LeMoshe, Yesh Mekom Shemakim Moshe LeAaron. Lo Lachosh Shkulin KeEchad. They're equal. How could it be? How could it be that they're considered to be equal? It's a tremendous, tremendous kasha. And the obvious answer is, and not obvious, but Moshe Feinstein is one of the Mepharshim that answers the question. Wasn't me. Let me just read to you in Shabbat. The Afagav Shemoshe Benu Hayy Yosef Goldman Aaron. For sure, he was a savior. He was the leader of the Jewish people. For sure, in terms of pecking order, in terms of chashivas, he was greater than Moshe. So what does it mean? It's not about who's number one. It's not about who's number two. It's only about who is using all of their resources, all of their strengths, all of their abilities to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And listen to this last line. Kol adam nolad im kishronos v'kochos v'ein b'zeh kol ma'ila. A person, each and every person, has his own DNA, has his own abilities, has his own strength, his own weaknesses, his own backgrounds, his own nature, his own nurture, everything. Okay? Kizu matna shemayim. Everything is a matna from Hashem. your situation, your genetic makeup is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval kol echod tzorach la'avod l'shapers atzmo. Our only job, we have one job in this world, to take the gifts that we are given, each and every one of us individually, and do what? And to enhance them, and to improve on them, and to work on them, and to become the best person we could be. V'liro she'ikayim satorva mitzvos b'kolchosav. Each and every person takes the strengths and weaknesses that they're given, and to serve Hashem to the best of their ability. V'zeh kol tafkido ba'olam. If you have to ask, right, Yisura Hasidus, Shurash Avod, Machavos, Balamo, of course, Mesias Sharam is working with this idea, right? The Hanus Mesias Ashkina to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. But what does it mean? We have one job. If a person asks you, what's your job in this world? To take the gifts and the strengths and the weaknesses that Kodesh, and everything that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me and be the best person I could be. A huge, huge lesson. How could it be? Aaron and Moshe equal? Moshe's number one. The answer is it doesn't make a difference. Who's number one? Who's number 754? It doesn't make a difference in the pecking order. It doesn't make a difference. If you do the best job you can do, so then you win the prize. And I once heard the most unbelievable mashal to bring out this point. If you really internalize this and live this mashal, you'll be a happy person the rest of your life, and you'll feel great about yourself. Because why? It doesn't make a difference about the people around you. It only makes, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, so then you know that you're in the clear. There was a bus driver, and he worked very good, and he was the driver for the bus route number 7. Now, bus route number 7 was in a very, very, you know, quiet area, and not many people took his bus. And he would go around all day, you know, 8 hours, 12 hours, and very few passengers, not so exciting. And the passengers that he had were interesting, not necessarily geschmack. And at the end of the day, so he would come in with this, you know, bag of money. At the end of the day, all the money that he amassed over the day, and he would give it into the headquarters. He'd park his bus and he'd go home. Yet he had a friend who was the bus driver of bus number 48. Now, bus number 48 was one of those double buses. It was in the fun parts of town. He had tons of passengers, also a lot of great passengers. The guy had tons of fun, and he came at home at the end of the day. He, you know, dropped off an egg at headquarters, a huge bag of money, from his all, you know, his full routes. So the driver of bus route 7 said to himself, "What am I doing here? This is so silly. This is really silly. My friend, he's having a blast, and he's bringing in a lot of money for the company. So I have a great idea. You know, let me switch my bus route to bus number 48, and I'll enjoy my job. I'll enjoy my day." So sure enough, he goes ahead, and he changes the number from bus number 7 to bus number 48. And he goes on the route that day, and he's having a blast. Great people, conversations, nice people, and he's making a ton of money for the bus company. So he's like so proud of himself. He drops off, at the end of the day, drops off the huge bag of money at the bus headquarters, and he goes home and he tells his family, and he's all excited. He says, "Oh, look at this. You know, I did, until now I've been a schlepper for the company. Now I'm finally making a difference. I'm finally doing the right thing." And of course, he comes to work the next morning, and there's a note on his bus, you know, "Come see the manager, come see the head of the company, head of the bus company." And he said, "What did you do yesterday?" He said, "What do you mean, what did I do? I did a great job for the company. I brought you tons and tons of money. He's like, "You don't understand. We have an arrangement with the government, with the city, that we need a certain amount of routes in a certain amount of areas. And since yesterday there was no bus number 7, we got fined by the city. And we're actually going to penalize you as well because you..." "What? What do you mean? I brought in 10 times more money than I usually do yesterday. How can you... You're going to penalize me?" "Yeah, because it's not about how much money you bring in. It's about if you do your job, each one of you, and you think that the person who drives bus 48, he gets a cut of that money, he makes exactly the same monthly salary as you do, being the driver for bus route number 7. It's not about who brings in more money for the company. It's about who does their job properly. If you do your job properly with bus number 7 with the 20 or 30 passengers you do, and bus number 48 has 500 passengers a day, it doesn't make a difference. As long as you run your route, as long as you drive your route properly and you do your job, at the end of the day, you get the same credit." What a beautiful muscle. So important. Right? Some people, you know, have more money, some people have less money. Some people are brilliant, some people are not as brilliant. Some people are, you know, more charismatic, less charismatic. Each one has his own different job in this world. And it's not about, you know, and the I would say one of the greatest challenges in life, and certainly in staying happy and staying you know, with a clear head, is realizing that you're not supposed to be him, he's not supposed to be you, and I'm supposed to be him. Every single person has his own job, and you're right. And I think the muscle is so beautiful because it could be his life is more geschmack. It could be he has, you know, in terms of the surrounding environment, not the person's life himself. But one guy could have more money. You know, this guy, you know, everything the guy touches is gold. Yeah, it could be like that. But in the end of the day, it's exactly these words of Rashi Feinstein. Not with his strengths, not with somebody else's strengths, with your strengths. Did you fulfill the Torah and mitzvos with the strengths that you were given? And this is your job in this world. And a person internalizes such a yisod, that's it. That's huge. And then he goes on to explain the Gemara we heard in last week's Shmuz, right? The Gemara Bava Basra, Daf Yonah Beis. The Yeshiva, the Yeshua, Chalash, he was filled in good. Amr Le'avu, my chosen, what do you see up there in Shemayim? Right, he came back to life. Amr Le'avu, Oilam Hafuch Re'isi. El Yoinu Ma'atat Tavtonu L'malo. Right, I see the people that were great, they're down, and people that weren't so great, rough. Right? Ve'in Kavan, Kavan Rasul Lomar, She'elu Hayu B'lam HaZeh, Chas HaShom Roshoyim, U'be'emes Lo Hayu Ruhim. It doesn't mean that the people that he thought were tzaddikim in this world were wicked in the next world. It does not mean that, he says. It doesn't mean that they were, and the people that were low were really wicked, and all of a sudden in the next world they were tzaddikim. The people in this world who are revered because of their abilities and their greatness, in the next world they don't measure abilities, they don't measure a person's intellect and greatness in terms of what his natural abilities. But all these bars she'ilu hayavelam hazem min ha'elyonim hayuchulam asus od harbe lefi kochosayim. You hear this? Unbelievable. It doesn't mean that the great people here are all of a sudden in the next world are like wicked people. No. It's that sometimes some of the great people, they could have been even bigger and even greater. And they didn't necessarily achieve their ultimate abilities, even though they're way ahead of everybody else. But in the next world, it doesn't mean they were wicked. It means that they were lowered down, because why? They didn't necessarily fulfill their potential with the kochos they were given. Even though here, they were like, they were the man. Olochein, yushom enatachtonim. That's why in the next world, enatachtonim. But some people here look down upon it as being, a schlepper, not successful, not so, you know, not the best. Him also kol mashu b'choltam. The tachtonim here, people who are lower down in this world, according to the image that the people have of them, they were in the next world much greater. Why? It's not about, right, it's not about getting to the finish line. It's not about where you are in society, per se. It's about what do you do with the tools that you're given. And some people are given a very, very weak set of tools, and they overachieve. And in this world, nobody sees that. In this world, people are like, oh, that guy, yeah, he's a nice guy, but we don't understand where he's coming from, what he overcame. And you know, in the next world, he's the king. And then you see some people in this world who are the leaders, who are revered, who are respected, who everybody considers they're unbelievable. And the next world, they did some great things in this world. But in the next world, they say, hold on a second, you know what we gave that person? You know what resources that person was given? And yet he didn't necessarily fill all of his potential. And this is, again, obviously this is not directly related to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it's certainly related. When you speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim, we think about, let's say, the vort we had before, that the whole mila of the dogs, why are they rewarded, given such a great reward? Because what did they do? They went against the grain. They saw where they, it's one of those ideas, the Bali Musar speak about it, the idea that a person sees a certain nakuda, certain things that keeps on coming up, that he a certain challenge, that he feels like that it's a unique challenge for him. It's hard for him to be overcome these challenges. That could be his challenge. So it could be that for one person it's this challenge, one person that's a challenge. But if a person sees a specific challenge and overcomes it, then he goes up to the Elyonim. Then he's considered the Elyonim. He's considered great. And that's what we see from the dogs. The dogs went against the grain. The person has perhaps his difficulty in davening, doing chesed, or in learning, and he overcomes that, boom, that could be his nekuda, that could be his tafkin in this world. And this is, if a person internalizes this, he's sowed, So then you have anivus, and then you have humility. You don't need to be him. You don't need to be him. You don't need to. You don't need the fanfare. It's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you know deep down inside, I'm trying the best. I'm trying to fulfill my role in this world, to fulfill my job in this world. So then you're doing great. Yeah, it doesn't mean you have to be number one in the world in anything. You have to be the number one that you could be. And that's what we see in Aaron. Can you imagine Aaron here? And first of all, Aaron, right? Last week's parasha, we know he's Samach B'Livo. Moshe Rabbeinu was nervous. Hashem, what's going to be? Aaron, I'm going to go and I'm going to be the number one. And Aaron's going to be second fiddle. Maybe he'll be jealous. No. It's another Yisod. Aaron obviously understood this idea. Why was he Shkulim? The only way he could be considered like Moshe Rabbeinu because he was Samach for Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, that's not my role. I'm not the Moshe in Shal Yisrael. Even though I'm older than Moshe, it doesn't make a difference. That's not my role. And that's why he was Samach B'Livo. That's why he was happy to greet Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, don't worry. Aaron will be happy. You know why? Because Aaron understood this word. Aaron understood that, you know why we shuckle? Because life is not a race between anybody else. It's only a race against yourself. It's, can I be the best one I could be? Right? Just to close with one of the famous stories. I think it's famous. I heard it many, many times. You haven't heard this before, but they say it over from the Ptolemy Amsterdam. So I forgot who his Rebbe was, but he said, oh, you know what, if I had the midos of, I think his Rebbe was Rishol Salanter. He said, if I had the midos of you, Rishol Salanter, and I had the brain of Rikiva Eger, and I had the, if something else, somebody else, so then I'd be great. So he said, no, with you and your capabilities and your Torah and your Avodah and your Gemilas Chasodim and all of your character traits, you could be the best. You could be the best of Naftali Amsterdam you could be. That's, I think, the line from Yisrael Salanter. Every single person, with whatever you're given, again, it's nature, it's nurture, it's, level of intellect, level of charisma, everything, athletics, everything, put it all, every single talent, strength, weakness that a person has is tailor-made for him. And our job in this world is tailor-made for us. Nobody's asking us to be anybody else. And that's one, our goal in life should be, like you said, I quote it for a third time, what is this, because just to hammer home these words for all of us, right? All you got to do is work and improve yourself. Fulfill the Torah mitzvahs with all your strength. This is our one and only job in this world. Have a great Shabbos.